Hi, I'm Sandy Burnett, and a warm welcome to Great Moments in Classical Music, a brand new series here on Lyric. Every week I'm choosing a key work from the past 1,000 years and taking it as the starting point for a voyage of musical discovery. And what better place to start than with Antonio Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Il Quattro Stagioni. It's a piece I've played and listened to pretty much all of my life, and why I thought the Four Seasons would be such a great piece to focus on this week is that it throws up so many interesting things to think about. For one thing, it's the most recognisable piece by the standout composer of the Italian Baroque. But in many ways, it does something atypical. It uses a purely musical form, the concerto, to reach well beyond music and paint a picture or tell a story in sound. Many present-day orchestras and ensembles meticulously prepare performances of this piece and present them as a sort of calling card to demonstrate their professional prowess. And yet, almost incredibly, The Four Seasons was written for the inmates of a girls' orphanage to play. What does the makeup of the music tell us about what they were like as performers? Then you have the fact that in recent years The Four Seasons has inspired responses from musicians and composers of our own time, bridging the gap between Vivaldi's era and ours. I'll be dipping into a few of those later. So, plenty of ideas to get stuck into over the next 30 minutes. So this is very much Venetian music, and there's something particularly rich about the musical heritage of the Republic of Venice, as it then was 3 centuries ago. You had St. Mark's Basilica, several operas being performed at commercial theatres, and then you had the Ospedale Grande, charitable institutions which are important sources of employment for many Venetian musicians. Venice had 4 of them, the Ospedale dei Mendicanti, degli Incurabili, dell'Ospedaletto, and the Ospedale della Pietà, which had several distinguished musicians on its payroll in the early 1700s, including Vivaldi, who worked there on and off for over 30 years. These ospedali weren't just hospitals, they were also dedicated to looking after illegitimate children and orphans, and music had for a long time been part of the curriculum for these unfortunate children. They became so good at playing and singing that performances in the chapels drew large congregations, which gave generous donations and endowments to ensure that standards remained high. This money was used to engage leading musicians as teachers, and so a virtuous circle came about. The skill of these girls made them internationally famous. It became the done thing to take visiting dignitaries to performances given by girls from the 4 ospedali. For example, a guidebook from 1740 states, "Such is the perfection which they attain in so doing, that for this very reason many foreigners are attracted here throughout the year. No visitor of importance who has come to Venice leaves without having first honoured this holy place with his presence." So it kind of makes sense that music written for the Venetian girls to play should be brilliant to play and stunning to listen to. There's no false modesty here. In works like The Four Seasons, skill is uppermost. Music like that gives us a clear picture of what the composer was like as a performer. Vivaldi himself was an absolutely dazzling violinist. A German visitor, Johann Friedrich von Uffenbach, recalls him playing a fantasy or cadenza which really terrified me, for such has not been or ever can be played. He came with his fingers within a real grass stalk's breadth of the bridge so that the bow has no room, and this on all 4 strings with imitations and at incredible speed. And another observer, William Hayes, described another side of him. A man whose faults were down to his having a great command of his instrument, being of a volatile disposition, having too much mercury in his constitution. There's something very 18th century about that medical analysis, isn't there? Two portraits of Vivaldi survive from the year 1723, presenting two different sides of the composer, and I mean that literally. An oil painting by François Molleron-Lacave shows him looking straight out at us with an elegant blonde wig and white shirt open to the chest and holding the two tools of his trade in his hands, a violin and a quill pen. While Pier Leone Ghezzi's pen and ink caricature of the same year depicts Vivaldi in profile, his large nose is mercilessly portrayed and he comes over as much less of a glamorous rock star. But as I said, it was the girls who were the real stars in the concertos that Vivaldi wrote for the Pietà, and the way the musical establishment was structured there ensured that there was real strength and depth amongst the performers. The best players were allowed to become deputies to the music teachers, taking on some of their duties. And there was an all-star chamber group made up of 12 girls, the Fili Privilegiati di Coro, who taught the younger girls. So there was a strong sense of skills being handed down, not just from teacher to pupil, but from the older girls to the younger ones. Interestingly, in our own time, the young players of the remarkable music education project El Sistema learn in much the same way over in Venezuela, older children passing on their skills to their younger peers with amazing results, which you can hear in the playing of, for example, the Simon Bolivar Symphony Orchestra. But what about the narrative aspect of the Four Seasons? It's often described as one of the earliest examples of a composition that tells a story, a piece of program music, as it's called. But how unique was it for its time? Well, you have to remember that so much music from the Baroque era was all about pizzazz and performance, with an unbridled theatricality, even when it had nothing to do with the stage. So you had anything from Bieber's Battaglia, which describes a military battle from its glorious beginnings to bloody aftermath, to Marin Marais's Le Tableau de l'Opération de la Taille of 1725, which is a similarly gruesome description of a gallbladder operation. Those two works I think you could describe as novelty items, but what's interesting about the Four Seasons, and in fact Vivaldi's other programmatic works, is that he uses the form of the concerto to tell his sound stories. Each of his four seasons, spring, summer, autumn and winter, is a concerto in the usual three-movement format, fast, slow, fast, with a solo violinist riding the crest of a musical wave in the company of a main body of string players. So that, obviously, adds up to 12 movements in all, each of them preceded in Vivaldi's score by a sonnet, probably written by the composer himself, that sets the scene for what's to follow. Each sonnet's printed in each of the instrumental parts, too, to help the players get into character. The restful second movement of Spring, for example, has this text: "On the flower-strewn meadow, with leafy branches rustling overhead, the goatherd sleeps, his faithful dog beside him." And there's an additional marking in one of the parts. It falls to the viola to imitate the sound of the dog barking. The first sonnet of Summer describes one of those baking hot Italian days where it's impossible to do anything. As the poetry puts it, "Beneath the blazing sun's relentless heat, men and flocks are sweltering, pines are scorched. We hear the cuckoo's voice, then the sweet songs of the turtle dove and goldfinch." Vivaldi gives the solo violinist a stunning part to play here, with plenty of challenges. He or she has to make the familiar cuckoo's call stand out amongst a shimmering sequence of semiquavers, and then summon up the two quite different calls of the turtle dove and goldfinch in a way which sounds much more like free jazz than classical. The gentle bird songs there being gradually swamped by an increasingly violent wind that shows a storm's on its way. Amazingly vivid music making, isn't it? I love the fact that these concertos were first published as part of Vivaldi's Opus 8 collection of concertos with the evocative name of Il Cimento dell'Armonia e dell'Invenzione, or the contest between harmony and invention. In terms of musical ideas and dramatic imagination, I'd put that contest down as a one-all draw. This is one of over 500 concertos that Vivaldi wrote, as well as at least 46 operas, 90 sonatas and several more church pieces. You'd have thought that this would have made him financially comfortable and his success assured. But in the 18th century, things just didn't always work out like that. Vivaldi was a man who often sailed close to the wind, both in, it seems, his personal life and in his financial dealings. In 1740, he found that his reputation in Venice had taken a tumble, as well as his fortunes. So he travelled to Vienna to drum up some business and died there on the 28th of July and was given a pauper's burial that same day. This remarkable Italian musician had gone from hero to zero. And for a long time after his death, right through the 19th century when we were revering the music of J.S. Bach and Handel, Vivaldi's music seemed to have dropped off the face of the earth. It wasn't really till the 1950s that his music found its way back into the consciousness of music lovers, partly to do with the fact his music became more widely available, partly to do with the arrival of the long-playing disc, the LP, and partly to do with a new interest in historical performance. Then something remarkable happened. The Four Seasons was taken up by the young Nigel Kennedy, a brilliant and edgy violinist who people either loved or hated, interestingly, much like Vivaldi himself. Nigel's record label EMI wanted to conduct an experiment to see if classical could be marketed in the same way as pop music. The Four Seasons was a perfect testing ground for this. 12 movements of more or less 3 minutes each, so pretty much the same as any pop CD. They went into the studio with the English Chamber Orchestra and made the disc. Posters appeared on hoardings, there were ads for his new album on radio and TV, and the investment worked. Nigel Kennedy's recording of the Four Seasons sold over 3 million copies, and it's in the Guinness Book of Records to this day as the best-selling classical recording ever. Around about the same time as Nigel Kennedy's recording was released, some quite different ideas about the Four Seasons were crystallising in the mind of another fine violinist, Gidon Kremer. He wanted a living composer to come up with a new take on the Four Seasons, using the original instrumentation, but writing in his own style. He approached several people without success, before discovering that the Argentine Astor Piazzolla had written a Four Seasons of his own. Cuatro Estaciones Porteñas, the Four Seasons of Buenos Aires. With the help of the composer Leonid Desyatnikov, Kremer fused the two works, old and new, into an Eight Seasons, which he calls a sort of dialogue of sorts between Piazzolla and Vivaldi. This is not music that can be put on a museum shelf, says Gidon Kremer about his Eight Seasons, fusing the music of Vivaldi and Astor Piazzolla. That work's a mashup of two pre-existing pieces, but in the last few years, a genre-crossing composer called Max Richter has come up with a new take on Vivaldi's Four Seasons, which is remarkably similar to what I think Kremer originally thought of. Max Richter's reason for recomposing Vivaldi's work is perfectly clear. The Four Seasons is something we all carry around with us, he says in a recent interview. It's just everywhere. In a way, we stop being able to hear it. So this project is about reclaiming this music for me personally by getting inside it and rediscovering it for myself and taking a new path through a well-known landscape. Well, Max Richter does that in a way which is both fascinating and kind of disorientating if you know the piece well. A movement might start in a way that's very close to the Vivaldi original before veering off into a contemporary language. I think what makes the piece so successful is that Richter neatly brings together the Baroque drive of the 18th century with something very similar from our own time, the rhythmical repetition of present-day minimalism, together with some funky takes on the traditional way of writing for the orchestra. The last movement of Summer is a great example. Vivaldi, but not exactly as we know it. So, in today's Great Moments in Classical Music, I've brought you Four Seasons in four different interpretations. Whether in terms of style, chart success, clever juxtapositions, or tear-it-up-and-start-again recomposition, each of these versions brings something of real value to the original. And I hope that placing these different versions side by side has raised some interesting questions. Sure, the Four Seasons is a product of its time and place, Venice in 1723 to be exact, but take it outside its context and doesn't that make it more interesting? Maybe this kind of reinterpretation and recomposition could become a model. Music can only live in the present day, after all. Rather than being an Italian 18th century artefact, shouldn't the Four Seasons be seen as something universal? I'd like to think that the Red Priest himself, Antonio Vivaldi, would give that idea his wholehearted benediction. For details of all the music used in the show, check out rte.ie/greatmoments or email us education.lyricfm@rte.ie. Next week on Great Moments in Classical Music, I'll be looking at Mozart's Marriage of Figaro. Coming up after the news, it's Weekend Drive with Lorcan Murray.